Welcome to Career Tools. This week, getting ready to be promoted. Volunteer. Here we go. Folks, this cast is talking about getting ready to get promoted. And if you're going to be promoted, there's a chance you'll be interviewed. Internal interviews are just like external interviews, but most people don't prepare enough. If you're going to be interviewed, you need our interviewing series. Come to the website, check it out. Okay, Wendy, so we're going to talk about getting ready to get promoted again and about volunteering. This is an area that people complain about because people feel overworked, and we're going to suggest that they take on more work.
Yeah. As you get more efficient at the job you do, you should have more time in theory.
Actually, it's not in theory. It's in fact. The idea of promoting the idea that you're super busy, which, by the way, folks, you should not be doing by telling people, oh, I'm swamped. What that often causes is your boss not to give you more to do. But if you've had the same five or six balls that you've been juggling for a while, you have gotten incrementally better at them, but you haven't noticed. And so there is time. And frankly, if something really important comes along, couldn't you figure out how to maybe do something, other things a little bit faster?
If it was something really exciting to you, you'd find a way.
Yeah.
So if being promoted is the thing you want, then find a way.
Yeah.
And this is one of the ways you get to know more people in your organization and show them the skills you have. And so many skills are transferable. So even if you're working on a project to organize the company picnic, you can show responsiveness to emails and calls and how you organize yourself and keeping projects on time. All those things that are work-related skills, even though it's not a work-related project, are still shown.
This goes to the issue of, I promise you folks, if you feel busy, you have more room to grow. And I say this at conferences all the time. The reason you feel busy is you're not efficient enough yet. And the way you can become more efficient is by taking on more to do that's more valuable and feeling the stress of having more to do. Keeping that stress outside of you, don't internalize it and get into a case of distress. But what we're recommending here is you step forward with enthusiasm when there are opportunities to stretch your wings. That's because, look, at the top of your organization, everybody's got way too much to do. You have to be eager at the top of the organization to be willing to work as hard as you're going to have to work to get things through the organization because of organizational sandpaper, because of the inevitable friction and tension and conflict, because of politics and everything else. So what's our structure for today?
So volunteer to go the extra mile, volunteer for cross-departmental projects, and volunteer for non-work events.
Yeah, I got to tell you, my favorite is cross-departmental because I just came from a company and they're talking about silos.
Yeah, everybody's talking about silos.
Yeah, and oh, those guys are upstairs. So, there's an elevator. Go. I don't know anybody. Well, that's how you meet people is you go upstairs and say,
find people you don't already know.
Hey, does anybody here work in technical marketing? Yeah, I do. Hey, there's a guy who does the stuff of X. Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. I'm taking away from you. Say, first things first, volunteer to go to the extra mile.
Yeah. So the extra mile is one of those phrases that people use. And it's a bit like the difference between management and leadership. Everybody's got a different opinion about what it means. So I've listed some examples just to give you some ideas. So for example, stay late to get work done for a project with a deadline and not miss the deadline.
You're saying that's an example of going the extra mile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you could leave work on time and miss the deadline. But if you stay for the deadline, that's going the extra mile. So call or visit a customer with updates without being prompted. Physically take something where it needs to go instead of using mail. So if you've got something important, instead of shipping it and depending on the shipping process working, you take it, you know,
right.
You take it. And if you take it to the office, if it's another office within your building, then you get to know some people. So that's cool. Send an email with information before it's needed. Offer to go to a meeting about a corporate update that nobody wants to go to and then come back and brief everybody. Read the details of updates and summarize them for your colleagues.
Oh, I love that one.
Compile a project directory, including everyone's contact numbers and other useful information at the beginning of a project. Do something to make the next person in line's job easier. So if you look at work in an organization, it generally, you know, it starts with sales, perhaps, as they reach the customer, and then the order is handed to manufacturing, and then the order goes to shipping and so on. So there's a sort of chain. So if you think about the person who's ahead of you in the chain, or also one side, either side of you, if you can make their jobs easier, that's going the extra mile. Be the one who goes to pick up packages or signs for them. Be on the emergency team. Most big companies have emergency teams to deal with things, and you have to go to training once a quarter, and most people say, I don't have an afternoon to go to training, so be on that team. And that's another way to meet more people, is to be on the emergency team, because usually every department or every floor has to send someone. So you meet a bunch of new people.
Yeah. And by the way, guys, that means you don't go sit down, not talk to anybody and ignore anybody and say, I'm just here to get through it. You go to that meeting, and when people walk in, you say, hey, I'm Mark from accounting. Not yeah. that I should ever be in accounting. No. Right?
That floored me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're not saying that you have to stay early or stay late every night, or you have to do everything on this list. You don't have to bring your boss coffee every morning. You don't have to do other people's jobs for them. It's about doing your work maybe slightly differently, or doing something slightly differently or ahead of time in order to make things smoother for other people. And we want you to be strategic too. We're not saying go do all of these things and don't do your work. You still have to hit your own deadlines and have your quality of work be the quality it needs to be. So if you're not hitting your deadlines or getting results in your own job, don't do this yet. Do that first and then move to this. So once you've got your job down and you're getting the results that you need to, then you can start about doing a little extra, be the person who offers, be the person who's helpful, but you don't need to be a doormat. You don't need to do everything for everybody.
Right. And I think, you know, guys, if you think about it, if you're familiar with our work over on the managerial side, we have the juggling koan, where we talk about having too many balls to juggle and how do you solve that problem. And those of you who've been to a conference, the thousands of you who've been to conferences, you know that it's my favorite part of the day, where we talk about having 20 balls to juggle and suddenly having 21 and figuring out how to get it done. And if you don't have more to do, it's easy to say, okay, I've got my work, I'm working hard, and you never feel the stress of having to do more and discover that yesterday you didn't think you could get more done, but now today you're getting more done. And that's how you grow your skills. And the extra mile helps. And when your boss says, hey, is anybody willing to help? You raise your hand. I'm always amazed at conferences. People are sitting at conferences. It's late in the day. And I tell them, listen, we're going to have two volunteers for something. And I say, anybody want to volunteer? And the worst thing that could possibly happen is they're going to be wrong in front of some people, many of whom they've never met. But they're not going to be appreciably wrong. They're going to be off by 20 or 30%, or they'll mess it up. And we'll all have a little laugh because we've all been there before. But people won't volunteer. It's like, really? I'll volunteer. Right? Yeah. I'm here to learn. I'll volunteer. I don't care if I mess up. I want to be better.
And I'm helping people let other people learn, right? That if nobody volunteers and nobody gives an example, then nobody learns anything. If you're there to learn, then surely you want everybody else there to learn. So
right. Volunteer. Good. Okay. And you recommend specifically volunteering for cross-departmental projects. Again, my favorite.
So there's new systems, new processes, a physical move, a bid. There's all sorts of things that end up as cross-departmental projects in companies, especially if they're smaller companies, you know, more people have more hats. But in bigger companies, most people only have one hat. And so all of those people have to be in the same room in order to accomplish something. So if there's a need for someone on your team to be in the project or be on the project, be that person. You get to meet people from different departments. You show them how you work. It's obvious, right? There's no tension in the first meeting of you going up to someone and saying, hey, I'm Wendy. We haven't met before. And they're going to say, oh, I'm so-and-so. You're going to have to get to know each other to work together. So there's no like, oh, I just approached someone and they might think I'm a bit weird, because everyone's going to have to know everybody's name. And you don't need to wait until the project manager says, okay, let's go around the circle and ask everybody's names and what they do. Do it up front.
And by the way, folks, don't tell me later that you didn't do it because you're not comfortable with that. We don't pay you to be comfortable. We pay you to be effective. You know darn well if you're the team leader of this team that you're now on. If you're the team leader, you know inherently that people getting along with one another on the team is helpful. I know there are some of you out there like, well, technically that's not what I pay for. But you know deep inside, even if it's not a big deal to you, that the team getting along, being polite to one another, knowing each other's names, being willing to give a little, get a little, so on, get a little give and take, is absolutely going to improve effectiveness of the team. So you started off. This is, again, echoes of our very first podcast, Solution to a Stalled Technical Career, where we were coaching a friend of ours who couldn't get ahead. And he would go to meetings and sit at the meetings, sit at the table, and you know he wouldn't talk to anybody. And the marketing people were sitting over there in the corner, and he didn't introduce themselves. And he did exactly what he was supposed to do. And then he complained about interdepartmental lack of cooperation. And I'm like, dude, you're that guy.
You're the problem.
You need to go walk over there and say, hi, I'm Mike. It's nice to meet you. And he said, well, it's going to be hard. I'm like, I don't care. I mean, all right, you got a choice. You can sit there and complain. I was just at a client, and people are like, yeah, this will never work. And so I said, if the senior people say it's going to work, or they're going to say we're going to do it, yeah. Well, look, you have three choices. You can say nothing. You can be positive, or you can be negative. Really, why be negative? In the moment that you're saying something, you're not actually getting any work done. Why not be positive and say, I think this is going to be good. And look, if it turns out horrible, okay, fine, you were wrong. And everybody else will feel right. They'll be like the crabs that pulled the other crab back down into the pot, right? Mm-hmm. That's just not a way to go through life. So you go to the cross-departmental meeting, and the first thing you do, you look around, and you go and you shake everybody's hand. This is not something that only friendly people do. This is a common professional behavior which you are obligated to engage in, and if you don't do it, you're part of the problem, my friend. And you might say, oh, that's easy, he's a high eye. No. It has nothing to do with me being a high eye. It has to do with me being effective. I'm going to meet everybody, and I'm going to use their names, because I don't remember their names when I talk, so that they'll feel like there's some bonds being formed, because bonds help people be more effective.
I'm a high D. I don't want to meet people either, but
oh my gosh,
I can do it.
And guys, let me put a little finer point on what Wendy said. Wendy doesn't just not want to meet you. She's a high D. She doesn't like you. She just knows she doesn't like you. She's just an assertive high C. She's a take no prisoners, make it happen kind of person. What's interesting though is Wendy doesn't come across in a rude or a forceful way. She has engaged in the behaviors. If you're in a meeting with Wendy and she doesn't know you, she'll walk up to you and say, hello, how are you? I'm Wendy. Now, that's not Wendy's natural way. But again, you don't get paid to be natural. You get paid to be effective. And if effectiveness calls on behaviors that are not normal to you, you're obligated to engage in them, or you don't get to call yourself a professional. And these volunteering situations put you in more situations which are going to spread your skill base, which is good because you need more skills. We all need more skills in order to give more value to the organization.
We talked about names just now. I was last week somewhere where we had a set of service people who were going to service us for the whole week. And one of the things that was mentioned by people that had been there before on the first day was, they'll know all your names. They'll know you by name and your food preferences by the end of day one. And we were like, no way. There's like 10 of them and there's 30 of us. No, they can't do that. And they did. And something about being able to remember people's names is really remarkable to coin a Seth Godin term. So if you want something really simple that impresses people, start to be able to remember, work on being able to remember people's names. People remembered that from like a year ago.
Yeah, good.
Okay, so we mentioned this before. The other reason for cross-departmental projects is not just meeting the people, but giving them a chance to show them how you work. If you interview with those people later and you say, yeah, I'm a great project manager, I meet all my deadlines, they've actually got evidence from the project that you worked on together that what you're saying is true. And that gives you a big step up in those kind of interviews. Even if you don't interview with that person, you now have supporters across the organization. So when we say you need to know people on your level, kind of across the organization, and a few people up and down, that's in the building relationships in your company casts. You know, if you're interviewing with someone and they happen to know the person that you worked with on the project, and they ask, how was he? Then you've got a supporter there, as long as you worked hard and you did what you were supposed to and all that kind of stuff. And once there's people talking about you all over the organization about how good you are,
that
you don't need to look for a promotion. Somebody will come and ask you.
Say, you're good. I hear about you all the time.
We've got an opportunity. Would you like to take it? And that's the best place to be in.
I'll tell you something else. If you're a manager and you're listening, welcome to the Career Tools side of things. And here's what you do. When you have somebody on your team that needs this kind of experience, you say, hey, I'm going to announce in next week's meeting that they're going to be, I need a volunteer. You should volunteer. And it'll help you do this and this and this. And when you go do those things the first couple of times, you'll be terrible at them. But after about 10 times, you'll become good at them. This is how you do it. I know that sounds really informal, guys, but that's how the best managers and leaders do it. They just talk in regular language about, hey, I want you to volunteer. It's going to be hard. It'll stress you a little bit. I'll help you a little bit with your workload, and you'll get it done, and you'll discover things are fine, and it'll broaden and deepen your skills. I tell people all the time that at the conference, I say, if you were an animal, the great curse of being an animal is that you can only do four things. You can eat, you can sleep, you can procreate, you can go to the bathroom. Okay? That's it. The beauty of being an animal is that because you only do four things, you are brilliant at them. You don't even have to think about doing those four things, which is good because for most animals, you can't think, okay? You only have, you're very deep and very narrow, okay? The great beauty of being a human being is you can do anything you want. In other words, you're not limited to those four things. The curse of being a human being is you stink at them the first time you do them. And there are far too many professionals, and I would say also young professionals, and I learned this the hard way as well, that you think, I want to do something, but I know it's professional for me to be good at it, and I can't be good at it, so I don't want to do it. And you're stuck in this recursive loop of, I need to get better, but I don't want to be bad. And what you have to understand is, you have to be bad at something in order to get good at it in the beginning, and that means being willing to volunteer to do it. Marissa Mayer talked about her early career lessons, I think in a Fortune magazine article a while ago in 2013, and she said, I went to Germany and I couldn't figure out the grocery store. I didn't know what to say to order the things I wanted, and I ran out of the store in embarrassment. This is the CEO of Yahoo, and had been a big player before at Google. Well-regarded CEO who said, I didn't know what to do, but I knew that I had to put myself in situations that I wouldn't know what to do, so I would do them. I just talked about in Things I Think that my weekly email that goes to licensees, it's so popular that we just heard from somebody, Fortune magazine just interviewed a reporter, I want to say her name is Julia Boorstin, and she was asked, what's the best career advice you've ever gotten? A bunch of people were actually asked that, and she said, say yes, work hard. Right? Meaning
yeah,
volunteer,
absolutely.
Take opportunities. And I bet some of you listened to this, heard the title of this cast and went, volunteering. Dude, this is how you expand your network and build your capability. And by the way, less fear because you're not doing it in front of your boss. Sorry, I'm going on and on. Okay. And now you said volunteer for non-work events. What are we talking about there?
Okay. So sometimes if you're more junior, it's harder to find projects or to be allowed to be on, projects. If
sure.
you're on a frontline role, people might not necessarily, your managers might need you in that role all the time, or they might, have a certain amount of floor time or call time that you need to be doing. And so it's more difficult for you to get onto those interdepartmental projects. But you can volunteer for the company picnic, the holiday party, the company offsite, or a conference, something that's work-related but isn't, the
right.
core company. It's the fluff around the edges, says the Heidi who doesn't like parties. And there is always too much to do to organize those kind of events. There's if you've got 1,000 people flying into a conference, that's a lot of organization. And even if all you do is help put out the name labels in alphabetical order on the tables, you just saved someone an hour and they'll love you for it because you just did the most boring job there is.
Right.
And, if you do it well, you keep them neat and tidy and make it look pretty, they'll love you even more. And now you've got a supporter.
Yeah. And again, you probably feel you don't have time for this. Well, what you do is on the day that you have to be at that leave for the offsite at 4 o'clock where you're going to help them set up or something for an hour and a half, which normally you would work from 4 to 5:30 before you went home, you will bust your tail in order to get stuff done by 4 o'clock. And you'll discover that there are days that you leave at 5:30 when, gee whiz, I could have got everything done by 4 o'clock if I had to leave. Just like all the moms and dads who leave to coach soccer or do Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts or scouting or whatever, or go to their MBA classes and leave a little early, or the last day before they go on vacation, they're suddenly terribly effective and efficient because they make decisions and move quickly because they know they're going to be gone for 2 weeks. It can be done. Maybe you're not helping a client, right? They're not strictly work. But again, you're showing your professionalism, you're helping people out, you're making connections. And, you know, I talked to somebody the other day, and he said, you know, it kind of stinks, Mark, because I really feel like there's favoritism. I said, you use the word favoritism in a way that has a negative tinge. Let me tell you what favoritism is. The top people want to promote the best people. And yeah, there are unethical top people who promote their friends who are idiots, but that's pretty rare. A really senior person is not going to hire somebody who's not ready for the job. Favorites are people who are believed to be the best person for the job, believe me. And how do they know who the favorites are? They get to know them. How do they get to know them? The favorites volunteer. So it's not favoritism, other than the fact that, believe me, at Manager Tools, as one of the owners, I play favorites. In other words, the people who perform the best, they're my favorites. If that bothers you, you need to find another line of work. That's the definition of professionalism in modern organizations today. Favoritism is an offshoot of effectiveness.
I just read Commissioner Bratton's book, the guy who did...
what a great story.
The policeman in New York who did the broken windows thing and really, cleared up the crime. It's. I read his autobiography, so it was a bit biased, I think. But it was interesting. If you read that book and look at the people he promoted, there was one guy he promoted like 8 levels because he knew him. The guy had a billion creative ideas, and he was always coming up to people and going, "I've got an idea to do this better." And Commissioner Bratton heard about him via someone else and was like, "That's the guy I want on my team," and he got promoted 8 levels. So, you know. That's the kind of thing you want to be
and
doing.
And people complain, like, oh, it's favoritism.
Oh, yeah, people complained, especially in a hierarchical organization like that. But, you know, he had his support, so it was good.
As long as he does well in the next role, it's not favoritism.
Exactly.
It's smart promotion.
And he did. So he was all right. So shall I sum up?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Volunteer to go the extra mile, volunteer for cross-departmental projects, and volunteer for non-work events.
Yeah.
There are opportunities all over the company if you just start looking. Right now you're thinking, I don't want to volunteer for anything.
Too busy.
So you've got your head down, you're looking at your feet, and you're not looking around. So if you start looking, you'll find things. Stop saying, I'm busy. And because if you tell yourself you're too busy, your brain believes you. If you say, I've got time and I want to find something to volunteer, your brain's like, okay, I'll solve that problem for you. And it'll go and find, it'll pay attention to opportunities.
I've talked about this before, the reticular activating system. You tell your brain what to look for and it helps you find it. It's very good at it. Yeah. To this day, for a year of my life, I called on dentists. To this day, I was so intent on finding dentist's office in Houston and the surrounding areas. I still can't not see a dentist's office. I know what the signs look like, and my brain out of the corner of my eye says, something over here is interesting. Well, it's a dental office sign. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. That's it. Another cast in our series about getting ready to be promoted, which people have been asking for years. Hope you enjoyed it.